and welcome to the Tipsy Sewist podcast, co-hosted by Ellen the Stitches and Hazel and the Machine. Join us today when we are interviewing Elisa Lex Jewel from By Hand London. So grab your favourite tipple, let's have a giggle. This is so weird doing it by myself. Can I just say, like, me and Hazel recorded the interview with Elisa Lex, and we basically just forgot to record the intro. So I'm having to record the intro on my own whilst I'm editing. It's a really strange experience saying those words that I've never said before, but I've heard so many times. So I hope I did it justice. We are about to have our interview with Elisa Lex Jewel. We hope you love it. She was such an amazing guest, and her stories are amazing, and yeah, I just think that it's going to be a very fun episode. Enjoy. I hope you love it as much as we did. Hello and welcome to the Tipsy Sewist, Elisa Lex Jewel. Hiya.
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a bit tired, but I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, that classic January blues. Have you got a cat?
Cats. Oh, lots of cats. Oh, there's two cats.
Well, I've got five cats, but there are two behind me right now, yeah.
Love the cats.
Cute.
Don't they have their own Instagram page?
They do have their own Instagram page. That's perfect. Can we start off by plugging my cat's Instagram page first?
That's what you're here for, right? That's what you wanted to talk about.
Exactly. It's called the Feline Five, with some understanding there, but you can find all five of them there, and they're very, very cute. I don't post on it very often, but I don't
really
do anything very often anymore these days anyway, so not as much as I should.
Well, we can get onto that for sure. I just wanted to preface this episode by saying that me and Elisa Lex are friends, so we do know each other very well. I was at your wedding last year. I work for By Hand London, your company, so I think I have a little bit of a easier, like, I know a lot about you already, but I'm still gonna ask you all the hard-hitting questions.
Yes, definitely. Hard-hitting journalism.
Hard-hitting sewing questions. One thing I don't know about you, this is good to start, is how did you get into sewing? Like, who taught you to sew?
Good old YouTube, man. Absolutely. My mum,
really?
Yeah. My mum was a fashion designer when I was a teenager, and she had her studio at home, and so there was always like fashion students and like her seamstresses and pattern cutters and fabric coming in and out. So there was all of that around when I was a teenager, and I used to help her out at like London Fashion Week and everything. But my mum doesn't really sew. Like, she taught me to crochet when I was seven. And so she's always, you know, she crochets and does things by hand, and she illustrates and draws, and she's kind of got the like design brain and all of that. But she never actually would sew herself on a sewing machine. But she had the sewing machine in her studio, which her seamstress, her sample maker, would use. And eventually I just kind of got really interested by it and just thought, surely I can just do it, you know, can't be that hard. Jess's motto, can't be that hard.
Yeah.
Like, look, there's all this spare fabric hanging around. And, you know, it was the classic thing. I'm a teenager. I don't have any money, but I really want to express myself with fashion. And I've, you know, got an eye for what it is that I want to be wearing. So why can't I just figure out how to make it? It was kind of like that. So I just kind of borrowed her sewing machine, you know, took some scraps of fabric that she wasn't using anymore and started kind of playing around with like pleated skirts, circle skirts, that kind of thing, and like customizing and stuff like that. And then it was just like, then it was amazing and I loved it. And then when I left school, I went to shoemaking college.
Because that's where you started, right? You were a shoe designer.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. I never really, it's quite funny. It's ironic. I never thought of myself as a clothes designer ever. But I loved shoes. And so I went into shoemaking, and there we obviously learned like officially on the industrial sewing machines. They were the leather sewing machines, but that's where I kind of learned then properly how to work a sewing machine and how to cut patterns for footwear. And then dressmaking, just kind of, you know, on a domestic sewing machine, was like a little hobby on the side that just grew and grew and grew and grew.
Well, I mean, would you ever consider making shoe patterns?
Oh, man. I mean, so the thing that I then got put off with shoes was, first of all, the fact that it was the fashion industry and I hated the fashion industry. But I was always really put off by the fact that if I was doing it at home by myself, I couldn't get a finessed enough finish on the actual shoe like you would get from, you know, from like a made in Italy designer pair of shoes.
Yeah.
It didn't, because you need a lot of machinery, and all the machinery that I'd learnt on in college was like proper industrial stuff, like huge, massive, you know, machines that cost like 20 grand secondhand or some stuff like that, you know, like the heel attaching machines and stuff. So it was never like, it never seemed like it could possibly ever be an option to make the kinds of shoes that I wanted to wear at home by myself. I used to make flat shoes for myself quite often. But the high-heeled, beautiful, spangly, high-end vibes, I couldn't do. And then obviously then you've got Amanda from I Can Make Shoes, who's just smashed it and just made it, you know. I mean, I'm so impressed by what she's done. I think it's absolutely amazing because she's really made that way more possible, you know,
She's made it accessible for lots of people like Jess from By Her London, who is obsessed with shoes like you are, to want to start making her own shoes. I think Matty as well has also bought the I Can Make Shoes book.
Yeah.
I think loads of sewists want Narissa's shoes as well.
Narissa's shoes are incredible. She's made some insane boots.
The boots.
Yeah. She's got a pair of platform ones that she's sewn and patchworked the leather, hasn't she?
Yeah.
I was with her when we those leathers.
Really?
She got them from in Goldhawk Road, all these beautiful.
She got them from where? Sorry, say that again.
Isan on Goldhawk Road.
That is so cool. I think that it's amazing that, I think as sewing people, we call ourselves sewists, but I know not everybody call themselves that. but as sewists, we have this innate want to challenge ourselves. I think we think, oh, I can make that, there's some clothes over there, I can definitely make that. That's why we learned how to sew, we learned how to knit, crochet, and I think we're always trying to find new crafts, oh, obviously I can make a shoe, it's just things put together. And I just like that we're always trying to learn a new skill.
I've just learned how to bead.
We both bought loads of beads.
Wow.
And I have shit loads. I made this bracelet.
That's so cute. I made one like that a couple of summers ago and it was so fun. I really want to get it.
It's so nice to sit in front of the TV and do it as well.
Yes. I mean, I have loads of beads left, so we can have a beading day. I bought so much stuff, so we should definitely do that. I think it's art, the way that our brains are. Our community obviously is very creative. So it's cool that there's all these new crafts constantly popping up. Obviously you've got Narissa's Bargello, and actually I feel that does bring us on to pattern drafting. Because sewing, we are following all these patterns, and then I think a lot of us sewists, me and Hazel, are both home sewists that have only been sewing since lockdown. And in lockdown, yourself, we learn how to sew on YouTube. I think it's a whole new ball game, someone being but you can draft your own pattern. I think that's very different.
Well, I think, I think it all ties into the same thing. It's that thing, I think what unites us all is this kind of confidence in how self-sufficient we are and can be.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you learn a skill, when you learn a hands-on creative skill, sewing, knitting, crochet, beading, whatever, you realize how capable you are. And that then gives you the confidence to look at other things and think, I could totally do that. Why not? Why do I have to, why do I have to buy it when I can make it myself and I can make it, to my own preferences, my own colors, my own measurements. And it's just another step, I think, which is so cool, I think.
Yeah. We'll come on to draft it yourself afterwards, but can you tell us why you started By Her London? Oh, it's been 10 years, 12 years.
12 years this year, yeah.
It's wow.
I know, oh my God. Why did I start By Her London? I had finished, I had basically decided to sack off the whole shoes thing and the fashion industry. And my son was, he must have been like 2 or 3 at the time. And so I was kind of just enjoying like a little, like I'd given myself like a 6-month grace period where I was like, okay, don't freak out about your career. Just like enjoy the fact that you've got this, you know, great toddler at home and spending the time with him and just kind of doing the things that I loved, which happened to be like sewing and knitting and crochet and making Play-Doh with him and baking and Pinterest life, basically. And then an old school friend of mine got in touch with me. And in that time, I'd started a blog as well. And I was like really inspired by other people's blogs, sewing blogs, and just kind of thought, well, let's try and set one up and just use it as like, you know, like a way of recording my own progress and what I'm making and things like that, and connecting with other people that are sewing around the world. And then an old friend of mine got in touch, and we had this great, like, crazy coffee fueled afternoon chatting. And she was working in like a tech startup, but she wanted to like break away and start up her own thing that was kind of, you know, marrying like online techie world with old analog, you know, like hard hand skills kind of thing.
Yeah.
So she was just originally just wanting my advice on like setting up a business and sewing and all that kind of stuff, because she'd seen from Facebook that that's what I was doing. And I don't think she knew at the time that I had stopped the shoes. Anyway, end of the meeting, we were both so charged and so excited and both just like so on the same page of like, oh my God, yeah, let's sew, like a sewing emporium, and like, you know, get everyone sewing again. And it kind of just snowballed from there. And the idea started pretty huge. And then we went ahead and like wrote a whole business plan for this, like, you know, amazing sewing cafe with classes and like,
wow,
and events, and like, you know, sourcing vintage sewing notions from around the world and all this. Oh, and then PS on the side, we were going to have like our own line of sewing and knitting patterns. So nice.
Dreaming.
Yeah, total dreamers. And we wrote a business plan, totally freaked ourselves out because we were like, right, okay, so to get this off the ground, we're going to have to somehow borrow like 200 grand or something. And like, I was going to have to move to East London and like move my son's school and all this kind of, you know, it was going to be crazy. So, and then her dad, who's like properly got his head screwed on, like read through the business plan just to kind of check it over and everything and give us his feedback. And he was like, yeah, you're kind of insane. And then he was like, but what's this little sewing patterns, what's that's all about? That sounds like it could be a really interesting product that you focus on and build your brand in that way. And we were like, oh, okay. And that's kind of how we just then like honed a really huge, overly ambitious idea into something much more succinct and something that basically kind of, you know, encaptured, is that a word? Encaptured or captured?
Yeah, encaptured.
Everything that we wanted to do, you know, we wanted to focus on bringing back a kind of analog skill into the mainstream, make it something really beautiful, you know, have like really amazing design and packaging, and have it all kind of have all the education and the support resources online, bringing the, you know, kind of building up a community through that product. So it kind of just seemed to like tick all the boxes of what it was that we wanted to achieve. So then that's what we did.
Was that name easy to come up with?
Hand London.
Yeah.
We went through, wait, what was the first one?
Because surely there was like a couple of variations.
Yeah. I think the first name that we settled on was Fitted, which actually is kind of ironic considering we then ended up going into, you know, focusing a lot on fitting and, you know,
yeah,
teach all the fitting classes and stuff. So Fitted was the first. And we, you know, at the beginning, our designs were very like bodice hugging and that, you know, slightly vintagey, you know, kind of 50s, 60s style, but kind of modernized.
Do you remember what your first pattern was?
Our first patterns were the Charlotte skirt and the Elisa Lex dress, after named after ourselves.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the Elisa Lex dress, I literally have the pattern like on my right here. And I saw someone post about it today. I saw someone made the Elisa Lex. I mean, it's a very, very lovely pattern.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely still one of my favorites. The bodice for me is like
next level.
And our Kim bodice and our Flora bodice are like my
Kim bodice is my fave.
Hazel's a big fan of the Kim.
Big fan of the Kim.
Amazing.
And we were talking about the Charlie earlier. Did you say Charlie?
I didn't Charlotte. Say Charlie, but that's also amazing too. And I also
were talking about the Charlie bodice.
And I love the Liz bodice as well.
But the Liz bodice, no one like that's an underrated bodice. People don't talk about the Liz enough.
They don't talk about the Liz enough. And I thought, and actually I had a message from somebody who had worked, because we did that as our pattern of the, you know, like our discount pattern of the month last month. And somebody messaged me saying that they just heard my interview on the New Craft House podcast when I was like raving about the Liz and being like, guys, I don't understand why people don't love the Liz as much as I do. And she was like, oh, I heard you on the thing and you were raving about it. So now I've got it. And I'm hoping that people will get it. You know,
yeah, well, continue to rave about it on our podcast. Like, I swear to God, no, not in like a mean way, but like, people haven't heard about Liz.
They don't know about Liz. I know.
They don't.
They don't. It's funny.
Yeah,
though.
See, Hazel's going to Google Liz now and going to see that it's a really nice bodice.
It's so great. And it's.
I think it looks really good on you, though, Lex.
Nice. It's so versatile and you can do so much with it, with all the components as well. Like
I think people are scared of 3/4 length sleeves. And so when they see some of the samples for 3/4, I think they get scared.
What are people scared of with 3/4 length sleeves?
That then, do you know what I mean?
It's hard to get the right length because obviously where a 3/4 comes down to, it's just below the elbow. And I often find that they.
Yeah.
Around my elbow.
Yeah. I'm not a 3/4 length gal.
No.
You can cut it.
So, but obviously, you could just lengthen it or shorten it. Like, it's very simple.
It's a very simple answer.
But like, when you see it, maybe that's what I don't know. We're just two anti 3/4 length gals.
Mm. No, I know. Well, fair. That's great feedback, guys. Thank you. I'll really do it.
The worst feedback.
Yeah, so 3/4 length sleeves. We can pay them.
This has 3/4 length sleeves. I think I've hacked all the other ones anyway. So, but
your one. There's an Elisa Lex that we put on the wall at the Stitch Fest last year that had people literally like double take as they were walking past. Which one was that?
It was sleeveless.
It was green.
Oh, green and blue.
Yes?
That's the Kim.
I don't know.
I think that was a Kim song.
No, there was an Elisa Lex that people were like obsessed with. I'll have to find the photo and I'll post it on our page. But like people would walk past the thing and it was on the wall and be like, what is that dress?
Yeah, I see. I've got a vague memory of that as well. Let's look at the photos and see which one it was.
Yeah, I'll have to show you it.
So tell us about your book, Made to Measure.
Oh yeah, that's why you're here.
That's why we're here today.
Yeah. My book is done. It's such a relief to have it out there finally. It has been a long dream in progress. I think since like early days of BHL, I've been like, oh God, I'd love one day I'd love to write a book. And the idea in my head has been through several different kind of ideas and different iterations of what I imagine my book would be. And then when these guys, when Quarto, the publishers that I worked with on it, when they reached out and we started developing the idea together, it all just kind of clicked into place. And we came up with this idea of I suggest one of the suggestions that I kind of put forward was this idea of having it all draft it yourself, so that there wouldn't have to be. I mean, part of it was also logistical, because obviously if you're having a pattern book, you have to include the paper patterns for all of the projects, or a digital download link with all of them on the, you know, on PDF. And there are already so many great sewing pattern books out there that I didn't really feel like I needed to contribute to that. And I kind of wanted to do something a little bit different. And I've always loved putting together draft-it-yourself tutorials on the blog. We've been doing that since day one. I love pattern hacking. I love working with sewing patterns, obviously, but I love everything around it. I love, like I was saying earlier, the self-sufficiency of having the skills and having the confidence to be able to just be like, okay, let's just get some pattern paper and let's take some measurements and let's get it down on paper and cut it up and see what happens and like take it from there. And so that's kind of how it was all born. And and I'm really, really, really proud of it. I have, ever since it came out, I've decided to stop looking at any kind of like reviews or anything like that. I kind of feel like I poured my absolute heart and soul into it. We all collectively as a team, you included, Elle, like we all read over it, looked over it like a million times, like we do with all of our patterns as well. So I feel like if any, you know, of course there are probably typos still and little mistakes and stuff, but I'm like, I don't need to know about that now. Maybe when I come.
That's what makes it like real and human.
Gives it character.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And I just think that it's such like, as I was saying, like from two people that have come from like definitely only like sewing, like indie sewing patterns, like we've not really sewn many like big four patterns that much.
Not that much.
When we come from like sewing indie patterns and then being told, you know, you can actually draft your own pattern. I think that shift in your brain where you actually think that you're capable of like doing that, that's quite interesting. And like I said before, I think we love challenging ourselves, and to be able to follow some instructions, draw something on a piece of paper, and then that becomes an actual garment that fits your body. That is mental.
It's amazing. Well, I mean, and you did it the other day with your waistcoat that you're wearing right now with your, you know, it's the same thing. It's like, you know, if you've got a dress that you bought in a charity shop or wherever, and you're just like, man, I love that dress. It fits so well. It always feels good. You can take that pattern. You know, there's instructions in the book on how to take a pattern from an existing garment as well. My hope is just that it is giving people that really rounded outlook on sewing, whereby it's just like you can do anything. You know, you don't have to be limited by a sewing pattern. You don't have to be limited by a size chart. It's just like you can do whatever you want. You can sew from a sewing pattern. You can alter a sewing pattern. You can hack a sewing pattern. You can take a pattern from an existing garment. You can make a pattern from your own measurements. You can do it all.
Yeah, it's really cool. I think it's quite empowering as well, especially when you said about like size chart. Like me and Hazel, when we talk about patterns all the time, I hope you don't mind me saying, you'll be like, yeah, this pattern is great, but I personally can't sew it because it wouldn't fit someone with like my bust size. And then she's instantly like, you're like cutting that pattern out.
Because I just eradicate them from my brain. I'm like, nah, I can't. Because I can't be bothered to make the, to do, this is my problem. I can't be bothered to make the effort to make it fit my bust to back ratio. That's me.
Yeah.
But it's off-putting.
Yeah.
When there's like.
It is. I mean, it is. It's long, isn't it? It's.
Yeah.
And there's always something. You know, some people love that process. Some people really get a kick out of it. Some people love cutting fabric. Some people hate cutting fabric. There's always going to be a step in the process that some people find annoying and like the bit that they just have to get on with, whether it's the hand sewing or the alterations or whatever it is. You know,
but what's that for you? What's like your annoying part of the process?
The finishing at the end.
the hemming the buttons.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I can't, I mean, I would say that probably 90% of the dresses in my wardrobe, and I'm talking like the ones that are made from like spectacular fabrics and like the ball gowns and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Their linings aren't fixed. No way. Like
no way.
No way. I haven't hand sewn that lining down into the zipper at all. It's flapping around on the inside. You know, those like last finishing touches for me, it's when I get to the point where I'm like, I'm done. It looks good for me outside. One day I'll get to it.
Always one day.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So one day I'll take them all out of my wardrobe and I'll hand sew those linings down and, you know, finish
that day is never going to happen. I mean, it's highly unlikely.
Hey, yeah, I've got better stuff to do.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have a favorite make from the book? Like one of the samples you did or just one of the patterns itself?
That's tricky.
They're all your children.
They're all my babies. Yeah, just like all my patterns. But I also have favorites among those too. I think from the book, the one that I've definitely made the most is the prairie dress.
I knew you were going to say that.
Love it. I love it so. And I think the reason I love that one so much is because it's a design that's been in my head for years. And it's been every summer, I'm like, I need a dress like this. Why haven't I made a dress like this? Why don't we have a pattern like this? And finally getting around to making it for the book was just a like, yes, amazing. Love it.
Yeah. Can you explain the prairie dress to the people? Yeah.
So the prairie dress has technically it's a princess seam bodice, but it's a very, very simple one to draft and sew. So essentially the front, the bodice front and the bodice back has like a neckline. It has the beginnings of it has the shoulder seam, and then the seam comes down the bodice, passed through the apex and down to the waist. And then it has these kind of, and then for the rest of the sleeves and for the rest of the bodice, like the bit that goes, I'm trying to show it, but obviously people can't see that. then goes around the side seams, essentially, is basically one big floaty sleeve that then is like a grown on sleeve that then curves down to the waistline and attaches to the bodice. So it's really, it's really comfortable. It's very, very forgiving in terms of the fit because it's loose, and then you have waist ties that then cinch the waist however you like it to be. And then it's got a lovely half circle skirt, which is probably my favorite type of skirt, but obviously you could put any skirt on it you want. You could put a gathered skirt, you could do a full circle, you know, totally up to you. And it's just one of those dresses that it just feels really me. I always feel really, really good in it. And I feel like it works really well with my body. It's a really fun sew as well. It makes the most out of a beautiful fabric. And yeah, I'm really pleased with how it turned out. And I really love sewing and wearing it. So for me, that's a massive win. But there are loads of other things in the book that I love too, for different reasons.
Any advice to sewists looking to branch into self-drafting?
Just go for it. just do it. I think the main advice, okay, on a practical level, that's the motivational advice, is just go for it. And don't worry about making a mistake. Don't worry about, you know, screwing it up here and there. It's totally fine. Just like we all do when we first learn to start sewing as well. But on a practical level, I would say that check your measurements. Make sure that you're like absolutely checking your measurements twice, three times when you're taking them on your body and then transferring them onto the pattern paper. Read the instructions slowly. Like drafting it yourself from instructions is not the time to, especially if it's the first time you've done it, it's not the time to like skip ahead. You know how like a lot of us we'll kind of skim read sewing instructions and we'll be like, okay, yeah, sure, got it. And then we'll kind of make up our own little path, you know, and kind of sack off the instructions. that's not a good idea with drafting it yourself. You need to pay attention to the instructions and and just check it all. There's a lot of maths involved, so if that's not your strong suit, then just take it slowly so that you don't get confused. I confuse myself quite a lot of the time because I find maths quite baffling, but you know, if I can do it and I really don't like maths, then anybody can.
With the maths thing, like I actually quite enjoy that part of it. Like, it feels quite, I know, weird, right?
Weird.
I mean, I was quite good at maths when I was younger. A star GCSE.
Fair Dude. Enough.
I think. Yeah.
Very good.
I know.
Weird flex.
I know. Everyone's really shocked. I was quite good at maths. There was one point when I wanted to study maths and theatre studies as my two like A-levels. And my mum was like, you can't do that combo because you need to choose one or the other. Obviously, I chose theatre studies, but it was a bit weird. So I quite like that because I think... I might be the only one, but I think like when we're sewing, it's very creative. And I think adding that like intellectual part of it, I found quite like stimulating. I don't know.
No, fair enough.
Like when because I draft with like my headphones on, I'm on the on my big table and I've got my ruler out and I'm like doing, I've got my notebook on the side that I do like all my like calculations in. And like I do a mini version of the draft like in the notebook and then I do it on the big piece of paper. And I just I feel very like in control of it. Do you know what I mean?
Hell, there you go. That's the advice to people that are starting out drafting it themselves right there. Do what Elle does.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just feel like a scientist.
Feels very organized for you.
Yeah, it does feel very organized. I just don't know why. I just like get in the zone. And I mean, I do make mistakes, obviously. Like, I know when I first made the Lucy dress, like I made a mistake on the bodice and I had to restart it. But I mean, it's just a piece of paper and pencil. Like, it's very easy to restart. But I like the like noting down all the measurements. It just feels like a very different side of sewing rather than just like following. I mean, I guess it is still following instructions. I don't really know what I'm trying to say. Like, I know it is still following instructions, but it feels like you've got like more autonomy over it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You can, you know, that you can make alterations. Well, essentially, you're making alterations fit wise as you go, as you're drafting it, but you also make any kind of design alterations from the get-go as well. You know, if the instructions are telling you to draft a round neck but actually you want a square neck, you can just do that right there and then. You don't have to like alter the pattern, you know.
Yeah. So you've told us your favorite pattern from the book, but what is your favorite by Han London pattern, if you have one? You can have a top two if you want.
Can I have a top three?
Yes, you can have a top three.
Okay, so my most made pattern is probably Liz, and that's probably my go-to, just because it's so versatile and it's something that I wear because of the fact that the bodice is a little bit looser than the rest of some of the other patterns that are my favourites. It's something that I love to wear during the day as well as feeling fabulous in the evening. Flora is really up there with my favorites too.
Yeah.
I love a Flora dress. I love the Elise Lex bodice and the Kim bodice. There are so many, guys.
I actually was thinking this earlier. Do you know how many there are?
How many patterns we've got? I really should know that number off by heart, shouldn't I?
Yeah, Jess probably would know it.
She would know. I don't know. 20 something? Maybe?
More. 30? More.
I don't know.
I think. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll find out because I think that would be quite interesting. Do you have any plans that you can tell people about for 2024 apart from your personal
maternity leave? Apart from doing nothing? Yeah.
Apart from having a child.
Big one.
That's number one. But is there anything that like you know that Byhand London are going to do this year that you want to talk about, or is everything top secret?
No, I've never been one to keep top secrets anyway. I'm all about the not so sneaky sneak peek. So
oh my god, your sneak peeks are so shit.
Oh my god, is this a Tipsy So exclusive?
Yeah, no, it's like Elise Lex will be like sneak peek and it's the whole picture of the dress like a month a month before it's going live. I'm like, that's not a sneak peek.
I remember with the Hannah dress, I made the first sample, I shared a picture of like the whole bodice. And I was like, sneak peek, I haven't even started working on this yet, but hey. And then like...
No, because it's not good, because there was a sneak peek you did like 2 years ago. Is it the Corey? Which one is it? And yeah, people still comment to this day being like, when is this plan going to be released? Because it was like a sneak peek that never got released.
Okay, no, so there was a sneak peek as well of a black strapless dress. The Pam or something. That still lives in my head.
The Pam?
The Nina. That was the Nina
dress. Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Pam is a great name. I like Pam.
I'm really glad that you both brought up both of those age-old sneakers, because that's what's happening in 2024, guys, finally.
Yeah.
Corey and Nina are finally coming. Corey has been the pattern, obviously, not the girl, has been in our so-called naughty corner for a good couple of years, maybe even 3 years. I can't remember when we first started working on it, because we were having issues with the fit of the B cup sample bodice, and, like, trying to figure it out. It's a cowl neck. It's a fitted princess seam bodice with a cowl neckline. So it's obviously really important to try and get that cowl neckline looking really good and beautiful, and the straps are kind of on the edge of the shoulder kind of thing, so they're not like
Hazel's can't deal.
I know, I it love the face, so right, it's amazing. So we've been working on it, and we just kept running into issues, and then we just got bored and we wanted to move on to other things, and then it was just one of those things. Like, anyway, we fixed it and it is in progress and it's happening. And so is the Nina dress, which is the one that I made for my birthday a couple of years ago that people really loved. And they're both like core classic BHL signature style.
Yeah. Obviously I did know this news, but I didn't know if you were going to say it. So I do think this is a Tipsy Service exclusive. I think genuinely, I haven't really had any involvement in either of those two patterns. Like, I don't know anything about them rather than like what they look like. But every time you describe them, I think that they would become like the core... Like, there'll be like a new Hannah, a new Anna, like dresses that people make time and time again.
I hope so. I mean, that kind of style, for me at least, is just classic and timeless. And I think, you know, I think they just look good on everyone as well. You know, I think that kind of fitted bodice and then the full skirt just looks so good on like everyone's bodies, and there's such a good opportunity to show off a really spectacular fabric. And just, you know, they're those like occasion makes that you make something really special for a special occasion and you cherish it and you feel really proud of what you've done. And it's that, you know, it's that classic thing of like, you're out, you're feeling fabulous, and people are like, oh my god, your dress is amazing, and you're like, yeah, I made it. And they're like, what? You know?
Yeah, 100%. And I think By Han London does that very well. Like, you do occasion wear, like, that's what you're known for, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I haven't been to
that's anything. So exciting. I mean, 2024 then is the years that Nina and Corey happen.
Yeah, I've said it, I'm committing to it, it's going to happen. And well, Corey's already in progress. So hopefully that's going to be coming out sooner rather than later. I'm not going to commit to any release date.
No, don't commit to any dates.
Commit to date. No.
that's jinx.
Yeah. Before we do our ending, which is like quick fire, which I'll quick fire some questions at you. Super fun, right? I just came to me. I think it would be really interesting if you can. I know it's a very long, complex process, the process of like making a pattern. Could you like talk us through, I mean, as like condensed as you'd like, the process of which it occurs to you that you have an idea for a dress or something, and then it becoming a PDF on our screens? Like, what does that process look like?
Yeah, it's okay. So first things first, obviously inspiration hits, idea. I get like a little flavor of something that I want to make. You know, I could be inspired by anything, whether it's like some fabrics or something I've seen somebody walk down the street in, or like a collect, or like a kind of a mashup of different designs and details that are interesting me. Sketch out a few different versions of it to kind of see what looks better. Then from there, as a team, we kind of look over it. You know, everyone obviously has a chance to put in input. When we've decided on a style, that then gets given to our pattern cutter, Jackie. So she'll then work up the first, she'll work up the first pattern in both our B cup size 10 and our D cup size 22, which we will then twirl, make a twirl for those and kind of, you know, try them on, fit them, see what looks good in the actual flesh of the fabric. We usually have to make some tweaks and adjustments at that point because it's not usually, you know, it's very rare that the first twirl is like bang on. Then we make the adjustments. Jackie goes back, makes another twirl. We check that. Hopefully second twirl we're happy with. Once we're happy with the samples, those master patterns then get sent to our graders, and they will then grade those two master patterns in the two different size bands. We receive those files in a kind of raw CAD document type thing, which we then put through Illustrator and do all the line weights and add all the branding and the little blah blah blah. At the same time, I will have written the instructions, the sewing instructions, that then goes to our graphic designer Ellie, and she then drops in the instructions with all the technical drawings, which I've usually kind of sketched out on paper and like sent her photos of for like tricky steps. So she works through the booklets, adding all the like fabric requirements and the lay plans and all of that. That booklet then obviously gets looked over numerous times, gets tweaked, typos get fixed. And then once the pattern is graded, we then get the photo shoot booked in, and we will obviously pick our models, we'll get their measurements and make any alterations to their samples, find the right fabrics, make up their samples, have the lovely photo shoot day, which is always really fun. And then when we've got the photos back from the photographer and we've got the booklet already nice and done, and that's all looking good, we've got the pattern all done, that's been checked over a million times as well, there's still going to be typos, but it's such then we put it all together, get the product page ready, you know, get it all online, write a newsletter, put some Instagram content together. Elle, that's you. You're amazing. And release it out into the wild. And somehow, and also in that time, all of us find some time to make up our own versions so that we can all kind of show how we're making it in our different styles and our different tastes and everything, and with the different variations. And yeah, that's it in a little nutshell.
It is like such a long process when you talk about it like that. Like, I obviously only ever come on at the end, like once the garments are made, and like help out in that regard. So I think for anyone like thinking about sewing patterns, like it really is a complex journey from start to finish. Mm. And takes a lot of time and money.
Oh my god, yes, it really really does. I mean, yeah, and it's different for every pattern. That's the thing as well. You know, some patterns, somehow we managed to get them out in 3 months. Like Hannah was out in 3 months, which was like, I think, the quickest we've ever done. Holly was quite quick too, actually, back in the day. But some of them, as we've just said, Cori has taken years, you know, and wow. And Romana, the coat, took a long time. Obviously, that's a much more involved pattern. That was like that at the time was definitely the most complex pattern that we had ever made. And then we went back and updated it as well, because, you know, after having released it and kind of gone through it, and, you know, we're all obviously constantly learning as well as we go. And so it's, you know, a couple of years down the line, you're like, oh God, I could make all these improvements based on, you know, feedback and what I've learned in the last couple of years. And so we went back and we updated it and, you know, tweaked all the instructions. And that's the beauty of PDF, actually, that we can do that.
Yeah. Okay, amazing. That's so cool. Well, we're almost done. I'm going to basically shout some questions at you and you just need to answer as quickly as you can. I'm adding one more in as well, but okay. I'll tell you afterwards. Okay. Ready?
Ready.
Okay. Your best fabric to sew with?
Linen at the moment.
Tool you think is a waste of time?
Bias maker and buttonhole cutter.
Your favorite garment you've ever made?
Oh, I don't know. That's so
hard. Oh, God. Your wedding dress.
What? My wedding dress. Oh, my God. Obviously, my wedding dress. Thanks.
Your favorite sewing tool?
My sewing machine.
Great. Your to toile or not to toile?
To toile.
Yeah. Your snack to eat while you sew?
Tea.
Snack?
Tea? I don't really snack while I sew. I drink tea.
Okay, great. Because that was the last question. What do you drink while you sew? So tea. Well done. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
That was
guys.
Super fun.
Yeah.
That last fire, that quick fire round, I felt like I was on a game show.
No. Yeah, you don't win anything. Maybe next time we'll send you a little like Tipsy Service badge or something, like a Blue Peter badge.
I want a Tipsy Service mug to drink my tea in.
Yeah, maybe we should get those made up. Yeah.
I'm drinking from my BHL mug.
Yeah, that's a cool mug.
That's cute.
With a little cat on it.
Oh.
No, that was really fun, and actually like I learned some things.
Yeah, definitely. It was really informative.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. And good luck with the birth of your child.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah. We look forward to seeing what Biohen London has in 2024.
Can't wait for Corey and Nina.
Yeah. And have a lovely rest of your month.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Thank you. Bye.